It's the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A presentation of Becky Holm, your insurance professional, focusing on Medicare, Marketplace, dental, and life.
We are playing back a segment of yesterday's Inside Douglas County program as we get to speak with Wall Street Carol. Listen to this.
I do. I was incarcerated myself for 27 years. I went to prison when I was a teenager. And while in prison, I developed a knack for financial literacy. And I took that knack and developed it into a financial program that the governor's office, the probation office, the many branches of the government supported to get the program up and running so we could help men and women who were incarcerated at the time go through a program to teach them about financial education and financial literacy. So that was my, if you will, contribution to change while I was incarcerated.
So when you went in, you were how old?
I was 16, 17 years old when I went in.
So how long up the road was it before you got interested in the whole financial area?
Probably about, maybe 5 or 6 years in, I guess, while I was doing my time, when I kind of discovered. I didn't learn how to read and write until I was in my 20s. So after I learned how to read and write is when I started to develop and wanted to have a knack for financial education. So I started to pursue that area as opposed to the traditional transformative programs they have in prison. My thinking was more around kind of financial literacy. And the prison system at that time, even probably to the day, didn't have any sort of programs around financial education. So I developed and designed one.
Wow. Now, a lot of people in their 20s honestly aren't all that interested in financial information other than, you know, just their paycheck and having enough money and all that. What was it about it that attracted you to realizing this could be helpful as kind of a path moving forward?
Crime. So I was taught to be a criminal, and from my peers in the community in which I grew up in, which is in Oakland, California, and that knack stuck with me. And so while incarcerated, I recognized that money had the same type of, in many cases, it was bigger in prison than it was on the streets. And so when I got inside and started to get wrapped into all of the drama that comes with prison, I recognized that much of my problem was around money. Much of the crimes that I committed was around money. Much of my selfish thinking was around money. And there was nothing to kind of deal with that. And so my approach was to address that issue, which I thought would help me propel my life forward. And, you know, so that's kind of like why I started to pursue it.
So were you doing book studies, internet studies? How did you learn all this?
So they didn't have any sort of books or studies in prison. I'm pretty much self-taught. So I pretty much picked up newspapers and magazines. And I looked at newspapers and magazines, and that's pretty much what it was. And I started to develop the knack for storytelling. So because I wasn't able to read and write, my ability to understand stories when it comes to phrases and terms helped me develop the financial philosophies that I teach today. So it's kind of like a different kind of education. Where did I learn how to adjust to presenting financial education to other incarcerated people who could find a value in that despite them having life sentences in prison?
So what year did you get out?
Almost 2 years ago.
And what have you been able to do with that going forward?
So since I've been home, I established our financial education company called Feel Inc. Feel's the acronym is FEEL. It stands for Financial Empowerment Emotional Literacy. And so what we teach is a proprietary curriculum designed to teach men and women how to separate their emotional decisions from their financial decisions. And the process of also doing that, we designed a management company to help manage my personal career, which I've got the opportunity to work with my life story being turned into a feature film. So we've been working on that and building programs for nonprofits and prison systems designed for people to take our program and come up with the results they're looking for.
Now, while you were still in, how long was it before you started really sharing the information you were putting together, your ideas, with some of your fellow inmates?
Can you repeat that part again?
How long was it before you really didn't just, sort of drink in all this information but want to share it with others?
So inside of the county jail where I was housed when I first turned 18 and I was sent to prison from the juvenile facility, the guards used to bring the newspaper into the pod and put it on the table. And wherever Sale grabbed the paper first is where the paper started. So this one particular day, I ran out of the cell to grab the newspaper. And everyone grabs the sports section because we all want to be sports. So this particular day, I dash out here, grab this paper, and I turn. I'm like, man, I got the paper. And when I turn, another prisoner said, hey, man, you play the stock market? And I was like, what the hell is that? And he was like, man, I see you got that business section in here. And I was pissed because I thought I had the sports section. And when I turned to go back to grab the sports section, I looked at him. I said, hey, man, what's the stock market? He said, that's the place where white folks keep all their money. And I said, can you do that from prison? He said, man, you could do it from anywhere. And that little piece there sparked my entire journey towards financial education.
Wow. And over 2 decades of learning this while you were still incarcerated.
Yeah. So we built a program called a basic financial course. The warden of the prison heard about me teaching finance on the prison yard. I was sitting on the yard in the grass teaching it to fellow prisoners. And the warden was like, you know, man, you need to teach this to other people. And I was refusing to do it. I was like, I'm not no teacher. And he was like, it's really not your choice. You can teach this class or you can go to the hall. Take your pick. And so we designed a class to teach people. And I got an opportunity to, well, a reporter heard about a guy in a California prison doing stocks, and she worked for the Wall Street Journal. So she contacted the prison. She flew from New York. She came out to the prison, and she interviewed me. And it was the article was called Murderer Turned Stock Picker is the Oracle of San Quentin, which is where I was housed at the time. And a TED Talk came after that. And before you know it, I was doing full-fledged programs and building programs for individuals, celebrities, public officials, you know, all kind of different people that we were working with while I was still incarcerated.
Wow. If I wasn't watching you talk about all this, I would think, oh, this has got to be a movie. These things don't just happen like this.
I appreciate that.
I mean, this is a pretty unusual experience.
It is. It's a lot more unusual to me now being free than it was when I was inside, just because I didn't really know what it was like to be in community and do finance. I'd always done it in prison. And so, you know, I was running a hedge fund in prison. So managing money while inside, you know, you're managing millions of dollars for correctional officers and for people in the community, which is what I was doing inside, building these programs. And the goal was for me to, although I was somewhat on the other side of the rules, the goal was about change and transformation, which is how I thought at the time. And I thought that financial education, if guards and prisoners had it alike, we could find common ground and that can bring down the criminal and the crime. And so that's what we was building and designing.
You must have had a heck of an amount of credibility there, because, I mean, normally if you were to say, as an inmate, to a corrections officer, here, let me manage your money, they would, you know, that probably you'd probably be in trouble just for saying that.
So they have a thing in California prisons that's called overfamiliarity. And overfamiliarity is any time a prisoner gets too close to a correctional guard or a staff member where the prison has to deem it a threat, and so they typically transfers that a prisoner or that guard to another institution to separate them. So in my case, these things happen, but because of the amount of money that was being made based on the information. So I started telling guards, to your point about the financing, obviously they looked at me like I was crazy. Dude, what are you talking about? Put you in the hole.
Right.
So what I decided to do was study the California Department of the retirement system, CalPERS. And so I figured that if I knew more about their retirement than they did, they wouldn't think I was a laughingstock. So I spent a couple years, studied the California retirement system, and I went back to the guards and showed them how I could move their money through the retirement system over to these accounts. And that's pretty much what I did. And that's how I got them to believe in what I was doing. And
Curtis Wall Street Carroll, he is the drug court speaker tonight. That'll be at 5:15 out at the Douglas County Fairgrounds. That's a segment of yesterday's Inside Douglas County program. The full interview, a KQEN podcast at 541radio.com. On the Morning Report, KQEN News Time is 8:42.